The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
This episode is brought to you by Major Spoilers VIP members.
VIP stands for very important people, and their small monthly contributions ensure that this podcast remains free for all of you.
If you would like to become a bronze, silver, or gold VIP member, go to members.majorspoilers.com for more information.
I sure do thank you for your support. Now, here's your show.
It's $2.99.
Yep. Holding the line, $2.99. This week on Dueling Review, we review Flash Rebirth number 1. Spinning directly out of the epic events of DC Universe Rebirth number 1, the fastest man alive finds himself at the center of a DC Universe at a crossroads. They said that this one is a spinning directly out of the epic events of DC Rebirth number 1, and boy, they weren't kidding when they said that, because this is definitely a book that you need to read Rebirth in order to understand what's going on here. Or, I don't know, do you?
You kind of do and you kind of don't, because, well, and here's the thing. This is nobody's first Flash comic, honestly. Because this is a book where the main crux of it is the return of the Flash's sidekick, who's been gone for 6-7 years now. Because he was gone before.
I don't know if it's 6 years.
I think he was gone before the end of Rebirth, though. Wally was out of play before the end of Rebirth because they relaunched Barry's book in 2006 and Wally didn't do anything at all to speak of. And now we're like, okay, Wally's back, except he used to be a kid, but now he is a kid. And this is totally him as a younger version of himself. And all this stuff is happening. And also Barry is in this book. And I'm just like, I know what's going on. And I was a little bit confused.
Well, and I think what works in this book is opens up with Barry. Here's the thing about this book.
Mm-hmm.
This book merges in nicely with the television universe.
It is very much a TV-inspired Flash.
Yeah, because we're at a grown-up Barry Allen who's investigating a homicide where the mother is dead, a kid is left an orphan, and the father probably committed the murder.
They think the father committed it, yeah.
We find out at the end the father confessed, although Barry still has some questions. His co-officer, Lieutenant Singh, or Director Singh, doesn't mm-hmm. want him to be involved in the case because it's too close to his own. And while he's doing that, he's having these flashes of Wally popping in front of him, just like we saw in Rebirth number 1. And then Zoom pops up and is like, I'm going to kill them all, Flash.
Is that the new 52 reverse Flash?
Yeah, it is.
Because there was one, but I didn't know if that was
the Zoom and the whole thing that there has been during the new 52, a big arc involving Zoom. But he appears and Wally kind of freaks out and tries to grab him, realizes he may be hallucinating. He goes off and starts doing a bunch of good things. And we kind of get get caught up on everything that's been happening with the Flash in the new 52 in a really nice splash panel that kind of shows all of the events that have been going on. Mm-hmm. Then, of course, he saves Wally from the Speed Force. And so mm-hmm. that's kind of a different view of that same sequence from Rebirth, which is nice.
Yeah.
And then Barry says, well, Batman would know what's going on. He's a detective. He runs over to Batman's house. And Batman's like, I told you never to come over here before.
I found this vintage Watchmen button stuck to the wall. It's worth like $35.
Well, but here's the thing. This is the thing that this issue, Flash Rebirth number 1, explains. How did Batman find this button? It just, you know, glinted out to him in his Batcave that he's been at all this time. But no, he's mm-hmm. talking about how when Wally went and appeared to Batman in Rebirth number 1, mm-hmm. his Speed Force essence or whatever left that button behind for Batman to find. So
his
I thought that was
lightning trail.
Yeah, I thought that was a much better explanation of what was going on.
In that it was an explanation?
In that it wasn't an explanation of how it got into the Batcave, because Batman's
there
like...
There was no explanation in Rebirth number one.
No, there was not. It was just like, okay, Batman saw this, he dug it out. That doesn't make a lot of sense, because it's been in his view for all this time.
Well, clearly the cave was in New York in 1985. And then a giant squid exploded.
No, it's all because of the.
They moved
it's all
New York
of the
5 years
force.
Down the road, and Mayor Quimby said that they would never speak of it again, and that's where they built the Batcave.
That's what I and so I did enjoy that part of the book, because it's like, oh, this is explaining some of those odd parts of the Rebirth issue. So, like we've seen before. Well, I shouldn't say like we've seen before. We kind of saw this last week with the Batman book. Mm-hmm. That there's kind of some retelling stuff going on and trying to get readers caught up on this. This one really tries its best to say, here's everything that's been going on in the last 2 years, and boom, here's Rebirth, and now we're moving ahead with Batman and Flash teaming up to solve a mystery, and they're going to keep it from the rest of the Justice League, which may come back to haunt them.
Yeah, that worked so well last time.
Yeah.
I think the thing about this that feels different, Green Arrow, Rebirth, Superman Rebirth, Batman Rebirth were about the new status quo of those characters in their new / altered iterations.
Yeah.
This is really a book that's as much about what Rebirth's story is. And maybe that, you know, that Rebirth story may be Barry's story.
And I've seen some other people say that this book is essentially Rebirth 1.5. And it really feels like that. If they would have taken this issue and made it an even bigger part of DC Universe Rebirth 1, I probably would have enjoyed it a heck of a lot more.
It would have been a little Flash heavy for the main universe spine title.
Yeah, but this one just kind of, a lot of it just feels like a rehash
of
stuff that we've seen before, and especially if you've been reading Flash comics. But again, there may be a lot of people who are coming back to Flash now that Rebirth has happened. So I think it did a fair job. I think it really did an okay job of getting us caught up and setting up a much bigger mystery that hopefully Batman and Flash will team up and continue to work together.
I hope not. I'm just sick to death of Batman teaming up with everybody. We don't need
come on.
Batman. No, we don't need more Batman.
No, I didn't say we need more Batman. I said, I like this idea of Batman and the Flash teaming up. It's not like Batman. It's not like, Batman Brave and the Bold. It's Batman and Flash need to team up. There's going to be a Flash story. Batman's going to pop up occasionally in this book to say, hey, here's, you know, what have you found out so far? Let's put our pieces together. Oh, it backfired on us because we didn't tell the Justice League. And now we have to cope with that. I don't think Batman,
to erase everybody's mind.
I honestly don't think Batman is showing up too much in any other books. I mean, I read Action Comics last week, which was a fair book. It had Doomsday in it, which totally didn't need to have Doomsday in it. I read Wonder Woman, which had two separate stories in it, telling the old version of Wonder Woman's origin and the New 52 origin of Wonder Woman. So it was trying to figure out which one's the truth and which one's a lie. What was the other one I read? I read Aquaman, which was, again, it was okay.
Aquaman felt too much like you guys, all the things you say about Aquaman that aren't true.
Yeah.
Refutation for me.
Right. Which was very similar to the very first New 52 Aquaman.
Yeah,
which was like
a lot of ways.
Saying that Aquaman is more powerful than you think. I did like the reveal about Black Manta, though, at the end of that. So I don't know if I haven't read the Green Arrow Rebirth one yet.
Green Arrow was very solid. Green Arrow
a lot of people
is,
say
is,
that, yeah.
It was mostly about the relationship between Oliver and Dinah and how they both miss it, even though they don't know it ever happened.
Yeah.
Which I really liked. And it established kind of a status quo for Green Arrow that works for me. In that Green Arrow is a child of privilege who has kind of reverted to his 70s taking down the fat cats attitude, which I like. And he got his beard back.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know if those are all the Rebirth titles or not that have come out, but I tried to catch up on as many as I could this week. And overall, I didn't hate any of them. I thought they were all solid. The Flash one, I think is solid. It just seems like, this is the same story that we saw in DC Universe Rebirth, just from a different perspective.
This
and that was
weakest,
somewhat troubling.
This is the weakest of the Rebirth stories for me for two reasons. One, once again, and I think that this may be, in fact, I'm almost certain now that this is editorially driven, the Barry Allen character is really flat and has been really flat since his resurrection.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? Yes. Wow.
Yes.
That's like a revelation.
And the thing about it is they're intentionally keeping him flat, and they're putting all of these trappings on it, but they're keeping this character flat to the point where this story really isn't about him. It takes place around him.
Mm-hmm.
And I like the parts of it that bring it in line with the TV series, which is, to be honest, a more likable and a more approachable version of the Flash.
Yes, I would agree.
But I think that my big problem with this book is that so much of it just sort of happens around him. There's a lot of talk. There's a lot of, well, Alan might not have it anymore. And then there's the Wally bit, which is, it's a strong moment. It's not as strong here because the art is nowhere near as good as it was in Rebirth.
I don't think the art was very good at all.
I don't care for the art throughout the issue. I find it to be really awkward.
It's really awkward. It's stiff.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's really stiff. And then the parts where it's like, hey, let's have people running. My God, right. I didn't think people knew how to run like that, because there's one where Barry is taking the lead. He's like, come on. And Wally's like, Barry, no. And they're running. And Barry is just, his legs are super exaggerated for a runner. It's not even how a sprinter would run.
Right.
And then you get
a
weird.
Like, he's actually leaping downhill.
Yeah, and then you get a weird double page splash, which makes them look like they are in that that Inception movie, because in the double page splash, you've got them both on each side, which is somewhat reminiscent of Flash of Two Worlds kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. But right down the middle of the page, you've got the look of the street from above, and you see their racing lightnings coming down to like the T section in the intersection. And then as you kind of pull out from that, you realize now you're on street level and there are buildings next to you and they're running on the street. So it's almost like the street has a 90 degree angle to it, so that buildings are built going up sideways. It's just really weird.
Like, and both
first time I looked at it, I was
really.
Yeah.
Really
oh, yeah. Fun. The Barry pose is just redonkulous.
He's doing
stupid.
The Charleston.
It's just redonkulously stupid. And I looked at that as like, that was dumb. And I think that that pose took me out of really paying attention the first time that I read it, what was going on in the page. Because first I was like, oh, they're running up a side of a building. That's cool. And then I looked at it again. And I was like, oh, that's a ridiculous pose. And I looked at it again. I was like, wait, they're in Inception World. This makes no sense whatsoever. This art is horrible. I don't want to say it's horrible, but it's not great.
It's not successful in what it's trying to do. And there's a sequence where Barry is in the Batcave with literally 175 words of voiceover. And it's three panels of him standing awkwardly with his arms held up to his chest. It's
which is not how
like
people
crossing his
arm. Which doesn't look natural at all. Although I do. Well,
you know,
I do,
who does that?
Who does that?
Barbara Eden did that right before she flipped her ponytail to make magic.
Oh, okay.
So clearly Barry is channeling the spirit of Genie.
I did like, but here's the problem with some of the dialogue in this. When he's in the Batcave, now, I like Wally's humor much better, because Wally is the one who would be the jokey person.
Right.
This felt like Wally dialogue and not Barry dialogue, because this whole time Barry's saying, this is the longest I've ever stood still having a conversation with Batman. That's a Wally line. I would make a crack here and say something funny, but Superman once told me that you're never supposed to make a joke in the Batcave. That's a total Wally line.
Well, and ever since they brought him back, they have been telling stories that could have, and by all rights should have, been stories about Wally West as the Flash.
Yeah.
And putting a sticker that says Barry Allen over it. So
right.
I feel like that train has sailed for me. I kind of like a looser Barry, a funnier Barry.
Well, the Barry that doesn't have his 1950 stick out of his ass certainly is a lot better.
The one panel in this issue where the running didn't look awkward is a direct homage to the cover of Showcase number 4.
Which
so it's actually... it is on the page where we see them running.
I see. It's the one after he delivers the pizza.
Yes, and like it's page the
one
10.
Right. Yeah, it's the one right after that where it's the panel right after that. Yeah,
that is a showcase for Irv Novik.
Yes, you're totally right on that. But the interesting thing is the pizza scene is a scene from Rebirth because Wally is sitting there going, oh yes, here's Barry. Even when he does this, he has time to go get pizza for everybody or something like that. So that's a direct tie into Rebirth. The Infantino casino right above that or whatever that is.
Infantino the casino.
Theater. Yeah, the theater. I think that is from, I want to say that that casino was used in Darwin Cook's New Frontier.
It's entirely possible. I mean, if you're doing a Silver Age riff or a Flash story, you can't go wrong by referencing Carmine.
Yeah, but you're, you know, that running, that's the homage to Showcase, is how they should be running. That's how a real runner runs.
That then that is how the character doesn't look ridiculous.
Yeah, and you're right.
I'm really concerned about this because if I'm going to read a Flash story, and I'm going to be honest with you, I'm probably not.
What?
But if I were going to read a Flash story, I want someone who can draw. Mm-hmm. Even Greg LaRocque. When Greg LaRocque was doing the run on Flash, Greg LaRocque has some very weird peccadillos of anatomy, but it looks good. It looks fluid. It looks like they're moving, and it looks consistent from page to page. Even when he's doing something like Speed Demon, who was very disjointed and out of proportion intentionally because of his powers, and he looked creepy, but he looked good. He looked dramatic. He looked like he was running, and that's not the case with the art in this issue. The art in this issue is very flaily.
Yeah.
And I'm really, like really concerned kind of about a couple of things. The line work, the additional lightning bolt lines to the uniform.
Well, that was all New 52. Yeah, that's all New 52 stuff.
This is more than they had in New 52. This is more lines. And I'm afraid what they're trying to do is evoke TV Barry Allen with his multiple lightning bolt textured suit. But if you're going to do that, you have to have either a digital effect or you have to have an artist who can pull it off with consistency.
Yeah.
This is not that.
Yeah. Yeah, I just the art really didn't do anything for me in this. I didn't care for it. I thought the story was solid enough to be a continuation of Rebirth number one. Mm-hmm. I liked the interactions with Batman. Although I did feel that they were very Wally-esque lines, and I like the fact that these two scientists are trying to do science-y things. They're trying to detectivize the story instead of just run and punch stuff, which
I
is
do
different
like
from
the fact that they made a point of Barry emphasizing as a detective,
right.
He's using forensic science.
Yes. And that's what I don't want to see Batman and Flash just going in, busting up a joint, trying to find a clue. I want them to do their science stuff to do this. And that's why I'm kind of excited about this team up. I did read the other Rebirth book that I read was the Detective Comics, the one where they're forming the Batman army with Batwoman and Tim Drake and
Red
Stephanie,
Robin and Spoiler
and Clayface. And
is she going by Black Bat? Because I know Cass
No,
Kane
she's
is.
Going by. What is she going by? What's another word for single? Crap it. I forgot.
Single? Solo?
Like, not solo.
Solitaire?
Something like that. Let me find it real quick.
Hammurabi?
Hammurabi. No, that's not it. She is going by the name. I love the Clayface sequence in that, though. Orphan. Orphan is what she's going by. Is what Batgirl is going by.
Well, Batgirl 6.
Yeah, Cassandra Cain.
Right. Batgirl 7, Stephanie Brown, is back to her spoiler.
Yeah,
name.
She's back to spoiler. And these
there
are
like nine.
And these are the characters. These are definitely the characters from Convergence.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because Stephanie Brown didn't exist in the New 52.
Right. Did Cass
Well, I think she actually, spoiler, I think, did appear in New 52, but in a different way. But,
right.
Cassandra Cain definitely did not. So
that's cool.
I'm pretty sure that this because and then also the Tim Drake from the New 52 got sent forward to play Batman Beyond.
Right.
And so this is that Tim Drake that,
changed his name to Terry McGinnis.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
For tax
so,
purposes,
yeah, or something like that. It's very confusing, but I'm pretty sure that and these are the Convergence characters.
Frankly, that Weekly Futures End series was just dross.
Not
so there's no
good.
Point in looking it up. Don't go, kids.
So
just
bottom line for me, for Flash Rebirth, I didn't care for the art. I liked the story and how it tied back into Rebirth and felt like a continuation of it. I do feel like you did have to read Rebirth in order to read this. Mm-hmm. But I'm still saying check it out. I still enjoyed it enough to give this a thumbs up. I would like to see somebody different on art, maybe Carl Kerschel, who I've always wanted to do Flash and love him when he does Flash.
Yeah. Scott Collins would be good.
Yeah. I mean, Humberto Ramos.
Is Steve Lytle still working?
I don't know.
Do Humberto Ramos.
Nope. He did great on Impulse. So he'd do great.
He did on Impulse, but Impulse was a different kind of book with a different feel.
Well, I'm just saying I would prefer that than this.
Mm.
So that's my thought. I give it a thumbs up. I say pick it up and read it, especially if you're a fan of The Flash. I think there's a bigger story here. I'm hoping they're trying not to rehash the same Zoom storyline that they were doing right before Rebirth happened.
Or the one that they just did on TV.
Or the one that they just did on TV, yes. And this does feel like they're trying to streamline elements into the TV series.
Yeah.
So for that reason, I say, yeah, go for it.
I don't. In fact, this is the weakest of the Rebirth titles to date. And I don't feel like there's a whole lot in this issue that makes it separate and discrete of everything we've already seen in Rebirth. There are a couple of new developments based on the spine of story that came out of Rebirth. But when, you know, almost a quarter of the book is in fact scenes that we've already seen, you really want to make sure that the rest of the story supports that and gives you something really awesome. And I do like the bits of Flash TV show here, but it's another one of those moments where I feel like the reverse migration is always difficult because the time frames are off.
Right.
This is bringing back information from season one of Flash, which now is, you know, a year and a half in the past. And I think that by the time Flash comes back in October or September, whenever it comes back, we're going to be in that new season and something weird is going to be happening. And I really don't feel like this was the best time to capitalize on that. But I will say that
you're doing a story that was approved for, you know, probably a year ago.
Right. And that's the issue.
And stories have been, and the stories follow a monthly cycle. Unless what DC is trying to do with this biweekly release is trying to burn through a couple of their stories.
I think they're trying to do what Marvel does with the, we release it whenever it's ready.
Yeah. But
we get six issues in the can and then we put it out.
I think certainly anytime you look at any publisher and their titles and their media properties, there's always a catching up period between both of them where either the movies and the TV shows are trying to catch up to the comics or vice versa.
And I don't
feel like they're trying to play catch up here. I feel like they're trying to do a very nice streamline, and I think the streamlining is doing okay so far in this first issue.
It is the most successful part of this issue. I will say that.
Yeah, because as soon as I started reading,
not really a fan of the art, and I don't feel like the Barry Allen character is bringing a lot to the table in this issue.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it could be something. And if you're really, really attached to the idea of Barry Allen, having him be funny, having him be younger, having him be more vital and more like the TV version, it's probably a really good idea. I think, though, that what you've got here is now you're going to have to differentiate how Wally, who has returned, is different from this version of Barry. And, you know, I'm still leery and frightened of the incredibly hideous new Kid Flash uniform that Wally is going to get.
I don't think it's a Kid Flash uniform. It is a Flash uniform.
Okay, it's still ugly.
Well, it might be, but that's how they're going to differentiate. The problem that I still have is, are we only going to see Wally in the Teen Titans book or in the Titans book?
The Titans book, possibly.
To me, that is an uber failing. Because if you bring it back only to shove him into Titans, and sorry, but not a lot of people are reading Titans compared to Flash, Batman, Superman, Aquaman, Wonder Woman. Titans is one that is not super high on that list. And so it almost feels like, hey, we brought this big character back that people are begging to bring back, and then we're shoving him in the dark corner of our publishing line.
Well, he's not that big a character. But yeah, I can definitely see that. I also want to get one of those cool briefcases full of pizza that Barry has on page 9.
That's a box.
It's not a pizza box. That's a briefcase from Pulp Fiction. You see, it's got little flippy tops and a hook on the side, and it's three-dimensional and it's thick. That is not a pizza box. That is a special pizza delivery thing, the briefcase that Barry invented to keep your pizza from getting cold.
I would not agree with you on that.
Well, then it's poorly drawn.
Well, yes, I would agree with you that it's poorly drawn, but it's not a briefcase pizza holder.
Briefcase full of pizza. It was the second Blues Brothers album, went unreleased.
Yeah. Okay. Whatever. All right. So coming out next week from Dark Horse Comics, we have BPRD Hell on Earth number 142, Fight Club 2 hardcover. That thing gets collected. Mm-hmm. Tomorrow's number 6 and Weird Detective number 1, which we reviewed, a couple of weeks ago on the Major Spoilers podcast. You can go check that out. It's all Cthulhu weirdness if you're into that. Ooh. DC Comics has Batman number 1 arriving next week, which I'll probably be checking out. Clean Room number 9 from Gail Simone. That's a mature reader book. Green Arrow number 1. Green Lanterns number 1. Justice League 51. Poison Ivy Cycle of Life and Death number 6, which I believe is the final issue of that. And then another one that I'm looking forward to, Scooby Apocalypse number 2.
Finally read Scooby Apocalypse this week.
What'd you think?
I kind of liked it. Yeah. I felt like it was, it was, if you get away from the idea of is this or is this not Scooby-Doo as I've known it, I feel like it's a really solid story.
Well, and as often as they've changed on television the notion of what Scooby-Doo is, then this is just another iteration of what people think Scooby-Doo is.
I don't know about that.
No, yeah. Believe me, go and watch some of that new Scooby-Doo crap, and you'll see. Because I don't know how it came up today, but somehow Scooby-Doo came up, and my youngest was like, hey, Dad, I watched Scooby-Doo on Netflix or whatever the thing he has on his iPad. And then my oldest son was like, yeah, but it's new Scooby-Doo, not the old stuff. I was like, whoa, okay, cool, kid.
You built a hipster.
No, because I've never made them watch any Scooby-Doo because any of the stuff that was ever readily available was the newer stuff, which sucks.
He loves the original Scooby-Doo from Mystery Incorporated in 2011.
Probably. But yeah, Scooby-Doo Apocalypse is really good. And I've seen a lot of people on Twitter say, hey, Steven, I picked up the book. I loved it just as much. Thanks for recommending it. So I think people should go check out Scooby Apocalypse. And Scooby Apocalypse number 2 does come out next week, as does Superman number 1 and Titans Rebirth number 1.
Rebirth.
Yeah, so I probably will check out the Titans Rebirth just so I can see what Wally is up to. IDW Publishing has Back to the Future Citizen Brown number 2, Dungeons and Dragons number 2, Godzilla Treasury Edition. That's a $9.99 book. You get a My Little Pony Omnibus Trade Paperback Volume 3 comes out next week. Transformers number 54, Transformers Till All Are One number 1. That's, I think, going to be a big arc for you right there, Matthew. So you might want to check that out. You're a big Transformers fan, right?
I'm a medium-sized Transformers fan.
Are you a bigger Transformers or G.I. Joe fan?
Oh, that's tough because I've been really alienated by G.I. Joe the last 10 years or so. Why? I'd say it's about equal. Because the thing about G.I. Joe as a retro property is when it was originally running in 1980s, there was the comic book version and there was the cartoon version. I liked the comic book version. I didn't so much care for the cartoon version. And the cartoon version being more well known is the one that people keep revamping and reworking and re-upping. So I feel like, they're reminiscing about different things that I found awesome. Although Larry Hama is still working on G.I. Joe.
Yes, he is. Uh-huh. Yep.
G.I. Joe and Transformers really feed into my need to know the names of 80,000 vaguely identical characters.
And the best thing is, coming up in, next month, August, something like that, is the big Hasbro crossover event. It does not include My Little Pony or Strawberry Jim. Shortcake or Jim, but it does include Transformers, G.I. Joe, ROM Space Knight, Micro Racers or whatever they are.
Micronauts
and something else.
Ghostbusters.
Mighty Man. What's the other? Something. Some new property that's coming up will all tie into that as well. Or some new IDW book that's coming up based on an old Hasbro property. So
Mighty Man and Monster Man.
And of course, that's all tying into the into the movie universe where Hasbro is creating a shared universe where G.I. Joe and Transformers exist side by side. So look for that in
that
Transformers number 6. Can't be any worse than what they've done now.
That's true. I saw G.I. Joe Recalibration, and that movie is just...
Is that the first one or the second one?
That's the second one. That's the one with Bruce Willis.
Well, isn't he in the first one?
No, Bruce Willis is in the second one. The first one was Dennis Quaid.
Oh, okay.
And everybody in G.I. Joe dies, with the exception of Channing Tatum.
Right.
So they're like, yes, we've established this massive worldwide organization filled with cool guys that you can meet in the new... Oh, no, they're all dead. But here's Bruce Willis, and he's going to be misogynistic and abuse Adrian Palicki for 2 hours. You got that going for you.
Yeah, I was just never interested in either one of those movies. Everyone said to see the first G.I. Joe movie. I was like, no, I'll pass.
It wasn't really all that good either. I saw it on cable.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles are also Hasbro?
Yes, the Turtles are a Hasbro property.
So maybe that's another one that'll merge into that movie universe. Anyway, Image Comics has Descender number 12, I Hate Fairyland number 6 by Scotty Young, Invincible number 129, Low number 14, and Sex Criminals Trade Paperback volume 3, The Hard Way is the name of that one. Marvel Comics has the all-new Inhumans number 8, Amazing Spider-Man number 14, Spider-Man. Astonishing Ant-Man number 9, Black Widow number 4, Civil War 2 number 2, Civil War 2, X-Men number 1, Scarlet number 10, Patsy Walker aka Hellcat number 7, Spidey number 7, Squadron Supreme number 8, Star Wars number 20, Star Wars Han Solo number 1. That's one that people will be looking at quite closely. And then of course, now that election season is really ramping up, we also have Vote Loki number 1. Is the lesser of all evils next to Cthulhu, which is the greater of all evils. In all the rest category, we have the Archer and Armstrong number 4, Assassin's Creed number 9, Assassin's Creed Templars number 3, Blade Bunny number 2. It's a $3.99 book. Does not have a mature reader's title next to it, so there you go.
Blade Bunny.
Oh, Matthew, we're getting close to the end. Cross Badlands number 99 comes out. It does have that C-Day worldwide cover, the torture cover, the wraparound cover, and the Art Deco cover.
Yeah, Art Deco is probably the most underrated member of Elvis Costello's band.
It is a $9.99 cover if you want the Art Deco cover.
Well, sure. Who doesn't want a beautiful cover on their 20 pages of death and murder?
Deja Torres number 5 comes out. Doctor Who, the 10th Doctor, year 2, number 11.
Nice.
Dorman number 3. Oh, you do know that they are doing Third Doctor stuff, right? Didn't we talk about that?
I saw the Third Doctor stuff. I saw the Ninth Doctor is getting his own ongoing.
The weird thing about Third Doctor is Paul Cornell is doing the writing on that. Mm-hmm. And he is someone who hates with a passion the demons. And so it'll be interesting to see how he handles that Doctor.
Maybe the demons is a bad episode.
No, demons is considered, especially of the Third Doctor, one of the greatest Doctor Who episodes.
It's not one of my favorites, but I mean, there's a lot of interesting Third Doctor. I always go with The Curse of Peladon.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of great Third Doctor to work with. And the Third Doctor, as much as any modern Doctor, actually changes his genre and setting and the tone of the piece.
I really, really hope that sometime in the next year, well, we don't have any more Doctor Who this year.
Yeah.
But when the Doctor returns next season, I hope they have one episode that is a Doctor Who crossover, and they get his son to come in and do his father's bit.
Oh, Sean Pertwee.
That
would be cool.
That would be awesome because his son looks exactly like him.
Right. Well, I know that they're really big on that stuff because if you actually listen, there's a 40th anniversary radio play.
Mm-hmm.
Where the first Doctor is voiced by the actor who played Ian in the first Doctor's Adventures.
Yeah.
And he does an impersonation of his old friend. And, of course, the second Doctor is often voiced by the actor who played Jamie on Doctor Who, the second Doctor's longest-running companion. And he does this incredible impersonation of the second Doctor, having worked, you know, with the man off and on for 25 years. So. Mm-hmm. They're really into that sort of legacy thing. I would love to see.
That would be so cool.
Just a Third Doctor played by Sean Pertwee show up. But then I'm a sucker for that Time Crash episode where the 5th and 10th Doctors had a 12-minute interaction.
Yeah.
That's a great episode for me.
Yep. First Hero Wednesday's Child number 1 comes out. Let's see. Grimm's Fairy Tales Held Child number 4. Mm-hmm. Graduate number 5. Harvey Beaks. Graphic novel. I don't know who Harvey Beaks is. Sounds familiar.
No. It's Beaks from Harvey's.
Okay.
You know Harvey's? It's a restaurant in Canada. You're going on the Trans-Canadian Highway.
I think you're thinking of Tim Hortons.
You need to strap on a feed bag. Where do you go?
Tim Hortons.
No, you go to Harvey's. They have the Harvey's trays, the orange trays.
Okay. Hip Hop Family Tree number 10. Joiners number 3 comes out. Joiner's number Florence one comes Griffith's out, and it's got a mature reader's tag on that, but number three does not. Interesting. Klaus, number six, continues the tale of Santa Claus in a weird, trippy, Grant Morrison kind of way.
I think that completes it, doesn't it?
I thought that was 12 issues, but maybe it is only six. It doesn't say of six, which normally if it was a Boom Studios title, it would have that in there.
It's June now. If it is 12 issues, it will wrap up at Christmas.
That's what I'm saying. That's why I think it was a 12-issue story.
Interesting.
So it ends at Christmas. Lumberjanes number 27. Fantastic read there. Mercury Heat number 10. Puppet Master number 16.
Mm-hmm.
Princeless Make Yourself number 3. I like the Princeless series. I know some people don't get a kick out, don't like it, but I do get a kick out of that.
I don't know if I've read Princeless.
Yeah, we did on the Major Spoilers podcast where we reviewed the first arc, and if I seem to remember correctly, you guys didn't like it and I did.
Well, that is pretty common.
And the weird thing about it was, if I remember correctly, the argument was this was written by a guy, so why is a guy writing a girl entitlement empowerment book, and that's the reason why you guys didn't like it?
That is not a reason why I didn't like it.
And then later on, I was like reading an interview, and the guy was like, yeah, I was really concerned about that, so I went and talked to my wife and had her provide feedback on every direction that the story was going.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So anyway, I don't know. I'm pretty sure you guys didn't like it. Maybe you guys liked it. I don't know. But we did review it.
I don't remember it. So it didn't make enough of an impression.
Yeah. It was like 2 years ago, 2 or 3 years ago.
What's the story about?
It's about a princess who doesn't want to be saved by a prince and live happily ever after. So she goes out and tries to save her sisters who are also trapped in towers. And then there's several spinoffs. There's Raven, the Pirate Princess, and then Princeless Make Yourself. And I don't remember what that one is. That storyline's about completely, but it's worth checking out.
Cool.
Rough Riders number one, Simpsons Comics 230. Ugh, Smosh number two. Everybody avoid that book. What a waste of paper. Tank Girl 2, Girls 1, Tank number 2. Oh, it's called Tank Girl 2, Girls 1,
Tank 2,
number 2. Something like that.
It's Girls 1, Tank 2, going into the bottom of the ninth inning.
Twilight Zone, Shadow, number 3.
You don't like that one? I don't know if I like it. I haven't had the guts to read it, and I don't know that I... It's just...
Why?
Okay.
The other Twilight Zone books have been fine.
They have, but this one crosses over with the Shadow.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, it's a crossover between the Twilight Zone and the Shadow.
Oh, I didn't know that. In that case, I may definitely be picking this up.
That's one of those things where it's like Batman and the Juicy Fruit Bear. It just, you can like them both, but you're not sure you ever want to see them work together.
Well, I think I definitely will be picking this book up then. I did not know that that was a crossover.
Okay.
That'll be interesting. Third issue of 4, so nothing like getting in on the ground floor with that, Stephen. Way to go. Of course, it's got fantastic cover work by Francesco Francavilla, so I want to jump in on that. And then finally we have Wrath of the Eternal Warrior number 8. Those are just some of the books that are coming out next week from your favorite comic book publishers. Of course, you can head over to majorspoilers.com and you can check out the complete list Monday afternoon on our site. Next week on Dueling Review...
Civil War II, number 2, written by Brian Michael Bendis, art by David Marquez, as the Marvel Universe reels from the events of the first issue. People died, you guys. Tony Stark decides to take matters and the law into his own hands and declares war on the Inhumans. But not everyone agrees with Tony's perspective, and they're willing to die trying to stop him. Civil War II, number 2.
You can show your support for this show and everything that we do at Major Spoilers by becoming a very important person at members.majorspoilers.com. Your contribution allows us to keep this show going, pay for our growing costs, and gives us the motivation to produce more content for you each and every week. Thank you so much for checking out Dueling Review, and we will talk with you next time when you'll hear Matthew say...
Kids, the thing you need to know about your mother...
This podcast is copyright 2016 by Major Spoilers Entertainment, LLC.